Looking to jumpstart your career? Start with the city of Norfolk, Virginia. You'll earn competitive pay, outstanding benefits, and a $5,000 sign-on bonus. Start your new career today at norfolk.gov/coastalvajobs. Restrictions apply.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, on this Friday, June 3rd, 2022, this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And tonight we have, boy, do we have a lot. Now, tonight we're going to have teaming up with the voice of the Christian resistance is the voice of freedom with Brent Johnson. Are you there, Brent?
I am here, Ernie, and it's a pleasure to be back with you. It's been a while, and I've missed listening to you.
Alrighty.
So it's a pleasure to be back and to talk about stuff together.
You've been out of the country for quite a while, and so anyhow, let's go with we have out there yonder in Texas, none other than John McTernan.
Hello, Pastor Ernie. God bless you and our guests and everyone listening.
Right here in the studio with me, I have What's Right, What's Left contributor Ron Ritz.
Good evening, everyone. How are you doing?
Okay. Do you have the right to you sound like you're a little far away there. You might want to adjust that Let me see where you got it. How's he doing? Okay. Here's your problem right here. This is why I couldn't hear you. Okay, there you go. I'll adjust this here. Now, say something.
Good evening, everyone.
I said say something. Okay.
Something. All right, okay. That's it.
All right, listen. We're going to start out tonight with, we're really going to start out with prayer because of the condition our country's going in tonight. And what they did with Peter Navarro. You're seeing what they're doing with our patriots. There's power in prayer. Power in prayer. And you folks out there listening to me, believe me, listen. If there wasn't power in prayer, God would not have said it. But he's told you there's power in prayer. And it's very important that all of you tonight would pray with us as we pray to come against the darkness, come against the darkness out there. Tonight, the deep state, the ungodly, the wicked. This month, they've declared the Pride Month, Sodomite Pride Month. They're saying, in your face, the Detroit Tigers are saying, listen, they're telling you, you come out here to Sodom. What are they giving? They're giving something free?
I'm not sure what they're giving away, but they're donating to the cause.
The Milwaukee Brewers got a drag queen coming out. They're saying, in your face, God. Don't you see the money we make? We're sports. People have to. They don't know any better. They're going to bring their money to us. And you've got Taco Bell now. I won't ever go back to Taco Bell. And, you know, just like I quit drinking Coca-Cola. And ever since I quit drinking Coca-Cola, I become more and more white. The longer I go, the whiter I get. Okay. And so anyhow, the NBA, I would not... Do you know why I won't have anything to do with it? I'm better than that. I'm a Christian. and I'm better than having to do with filth.
Yeah, I actually always had a hard time understanding how people are so hard-pressed to entertain themselves that they'll actually subject themselves to be disrespected, if you think about it, and our values just trampled upon.
Well, we're going to get to the reason for all that in just a minute, but John McTurnan, would you like to lead us in a imprecatory prayer against the deep state, against the Department of Justice, against the corrupt FBI, against the entirely corrupt Congress? Would you lead us in a, and folks out there, pray along with us in agreement with us. Go ahead, John.
Yes. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we are living, like literally now, on the road to Sodom. We're at the gates of Sodom, Lord. And the foundations, the Bible said, if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? Lord, they've destroyed the foundation. They mock your marriage between a man and a woman. They mock you created us male and female. Anything connected with you, they mock. The government, Lord, is now really just under control of wickedness. Many of the departments are flying the homosexual flag. They're in the Vatican there at the embassy. They're flying the homosexual flag. Probably other embassies throughout the world, they probably are too. Lord, this is full scale as the days of Noah. And Lord, I'm asking now in Jesus' name that you would move, that they would see you, Lord. But however you move in judgment against them, they would see you. The FBI, I don't know if there can be an honest agent in there now. It's so corrupt. Up on top, Lord. I don't know down at the bottom if it can be. But, Lord, deal with them. They are mockers. They are agents of the Democrat Party. They are not in any way for the American people. Lord, the Justice Department is there is no justice in it. It's incredibly evil, Lord, dangerous for the American people. So we're in the House of Representatives, the Senate, maybe there's two decent politicians in there, Lord, maybe. And we're loaded with rhinos in the Democrat and the Republican Party. Lord, we have no one to look to but you. We're asking for a mighty move of your spirit to clean house, Lord. That's what we're looking for. And when you clean house, they would know it's from you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that we serve righteousness, that we believe in your word, and we stand on your word in truth and in holiness and in righteousness. In Jesus' name I ask, amen.
Amen. I forgot to mention our producer tonight is none other than great, Courageous Craig. Good evening, Courageous. We're going to go over to our scripture tonight is Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 through 20, and so let me I'll go ahead and we'll read and maybe we'll do some commentary. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven. Thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldst say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Now, here, what people are saying, yeah, we'll obey God, but what does he want? How do we know? So, fellas, tell me, Brent, John, how do we know what God wants us to do?
Well, it's very clear in his word, Pastor Ernie.
That's exactly right.
It's not a great mystery. Now, the problem is people may be ignorant of his word, but that's not God's fault. God has laid out, God's laid it out in his word what he expects of us.
Well, you know, do we expect God to spell it out for us?
He did. His word.
That's exactly what he did. He spelled it out for us, did he? Now, here. See, now I have set thee before, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. Now, we know, if we just say, well, what is life? Jesus said, I came to give you life and more abundantly. So life eternal is eternal fellowship with God, isn't it? And death is eternal separation. So the wages of sin is what?
Death.
Death.
Okay, now listen to this. He says, in that I commanded thee this day to love thy Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whether thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou whither thou goest to possess it, but if thine heart turn away, thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day, you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land, whither the passes over the Jordan to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Now, let me ask you this. Has God changed? Because, see, society out there seems to think that God has changed. You have the apostate church, the World and National Council of Churches, United Church of the Antichrist, the Episcopal Church. They embrace everything that God calls sin. So God's immutable. What does that mean that we say God's immutable?
That means, Pastor Ernie, he does not change.
So what he told us in his word, what if public opinion changes? What if the polls say that most people disagree with God?
I always love when you hear God's got to get with the times. That's got to be the most hypocritical statement you could ever make.
One day when I was preaching out the bloody abortion mill, I had a woman yell out to me, this is the 90s, okay? Yeah. There is no more sin.
Yeah, it's out of style.
Yeah, boy, is she in for a rude awakening, huh?
Yep.
And so here, what we understand, when we take a look and we see all around us, we see in all of society being conformed. Now, what did Jesus say when he talked about the majority and the minority? Which would be conformed to the world, the majority or the minority?
Broad is the way to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But narrow is the gate that leads to life, and few there be that find it.
So, Brent, you just got to jump right in. So God.
Oh,
yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. Only place I would disagree with you on is where you say that all the world, okay, has been corrupted, but it's not true because there are the few. There are those who resonate to right and wrong, to truth and justice. And in the midst of the morass that in which we live, those people still exist. And historically, those are the people who always change the world.
So there you go. So Jesus turned the world upside down with how many thousands?
120 people, Pastor.
Well, actually, he started out with 12, didn't he?
Well, I'll go by the upper room.
Yeah. Well, he had 12 disciples where he started. But anyhow, even the upper room, 120. But he turned the world upside down. And here, the world out there, like you said, Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. Many will come, but few will enter. And the Apostle Paul says, in the last days, many will depart from the faith. Many, many, many. So I've seen in my lifetime over the years many so-called professing Christians turn away and walk away. They became woke. You got this so-called woke society. So again, at the end of the day, is God going to get his way? Is everything he said going to happen?
Yeah, he's in charge till the end.
So he says, I change not, right? I change not. Heaven and earth will pass, but my words aren't going to pass, right? And he said, these words that I tell you will come to pass. There's no chance that they won't, huh? So,
well, Pastor Ernie, when people reject God and live in this sin, they're fulfilling prophecy. As the days of Noah, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And in other scriptures about, you know, and the perilous time shall come in the last days. So the more sin they're in, it's like the more they're fulfilling prophecy.
Absolutely. And so what do we have now? There's one group of individuals more than any other whose responsibility to bring the people back to God and to whose responsibility is to be bold and to resist tyranny and to lead the people. Who are they?
The leaders of the church.
And the preachers.
Yeah.
So judgment begins in the house of God, and in that house it begins in the pulpit, huh?
Absolutely.
And so there's that fellow. I think you may have remembered him. His name was Charles Finney. And here's what Charles Finney had to say in 1873. The title of his message was The Decay of Conscience. He said, if there is a decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the public press lacks moral discernment, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the church is degenerate and worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses its interest in Christianity, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules in our halls of legislation, the pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupt that the very foundations of our government are ready to fall away, the pulpit is responsible for it. And that's exactly where we are today. They have become so corrupt, they're gone. We no longer have a legitimate government in this country, do we?
Nope.
And so here, when the title of my message this week is an open letter to the enemies of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And these enemies include, among others, Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, the entire Democratic Communist Party, along with the fake news media, the corrupt DOJ, the FBI, CIA, and others. And as you see that there's this march now to take away the guns, we're going to be taking a look at the truth. Why is it, you heard Biden say, you don't need to protect yourself, you don't need a 9mm to protect yourself from an animal or to go out and shoot a squirrel? No, Joe Biden, we, the people of the United States of America, we Christian patriots, we want our guns to protect ourselves from you Democrats, because you Democrats want to take away our life, our liberty, and our pursuit of happiness. I know it, and you know it. And the vast majority of the people in this country know it, okay? And so when it comes to that, and they're telling you, in fact, here in Ohio, in July, we become a constitutional carry. You don't need any more to register or whatever. And in fact, we have legislation now, from what I understand, the governor's going to sign. And that legislation will arm teachers in the public schools, will allow them to carry firearms. And so, here, in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, reads this, then he said unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise in his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Now, how many garments did the normal man have in those days? Usually, when you talk about a robe, usually two at the most. We didn't have closets full of clothes like we do today. And so what happens was that meant that that robe or that garment, that was an important thing because you can get cold without one, huh? And so here, so there the Lord Jesus is making it very clear that we need to be ready to protect one another. That's the whole point of this, that we got to be ready to protect one another. the Second Amendment to the Constitution of the United States of America. A well-regulated military being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, you know, you hear people say, well, you see here what it says there? It says a well-regulated militia. That means a government. No, that doesn't mean government. What that means is a well-trained and well-supplied. That's what it means when it says well-regulated militia, well-trained and well-supplied. And, of course, again, the people that want to take away our guns, the people who want to take away our freedom, are the Democratic Communist Party here in America today. And so I want to just read you, because we've come to a time in this country, it's time in this country to dissolve the current government. And let me just read to you. You've heard of this thing called the Declaration of Independence, July 4th, 1776. The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When, in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bonds which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain inalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute a new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizations, its powers in such from as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety, happiness, prudence, indeed will dictate that government long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly will experience, all experience has shown, that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right and their duty to throw off such a government and provide a new guards for their future security, such has been the patient suffering of this United States of America. And we are up against it. Brett, I think you'll like this song. We'll be back right after this song. You may remember this.
Time now for Barack Obama.
He's our man, oh yes.
He cares for us like he is our mama.
He's our man, oh yes. Time now for Barack Obama. He's our man, oh yes. He cares for us like he is our mama. He's our man, oh yes. Obama.
He'll take good care of me. So healthy we will be,
oh, oh.
And keep the people free.
Oh, yeah.
Obama was meant to be. He'll fill our hearts with glee. He'll help us all, you see.
Time now for Barack Obama. He's our man, oh yes. He cares for us like he is our mama. He's our man, oh yes. Time now for Barack Obama. He's our man, oh yes.
President-elect Obama. special spot to go visit where he was born?
It's already an attraction.
Build our country, Obama. We build our country, Obama. We build our country, Obama. We build our country.
He is not who we thought he would be.
Hear us cry, oh no.
With Obama, we will not be free.
Hear us cry, oh no. He is not who we thought he would be. Hear us cry, oh no. With Obama, we will not be free. Hear us cry, oh no. Obama,
he is more of the same. Tax and spend in his name.
Oh, oh.
Those bankers are to blame.
Oh, no.
Makes us dependent, he. Keeps us on bended knee.
Oh,
then tells us we are free.
Put his birthplace, I'll put up a marker there.
It's already well known.
He is not who we thought he would be, Perry Sotoro. His birth certificate we cannot see, don't want us to know. He is not who we thought he would be, Perry Sotoro. His birth certificate we cannot see, don't want us to know.
There's government control, a socialistic goal.
Oh,
he will destroy our soul.
Oh, no.
This was not meant to be. This was not meant to be.
Oh, crap.
All the people should be free.
I've now been in 57 states.
Sotoro, his name is Perry. Sotoro, just leave our country. Obama, just leave our country alone. Obama.
All right, we're back. And with that song, a star was born. And that was none other than our guest tonight, Brent Johnson from The Voice of Freedom. Brent, you have your cohorts with you there.
Look at the timing of that. That's just amazing. The timing.
Yeah.
Just when you're bringing me on. There you are. Okay.
All right. We're back. This is Brent Johnson. Brent, your associate is with us now. Would you introduce him?
Yes, I will. I was going to do it a little bit, but where I am currently is in a place called the Kingdom of Tonga. It's down in the South Pacific, about 3.5 air miles northwest of Auckland, New Zealand. So it's really far down there. And in January, we had a volcanic eruption. And as a result of that eruption, our fiber optics were wiped out. Now, I have a decent signal today. If I run into problems, I will get back on via a satellite phone. But because of connectivity issues and the circumstances that we're going to be discussing this evening as to what's happened to us, I thought it was important to have somebody in the States who is easier to connect to be working the mechanics of helping us get through this situation. That somebody is C.W., and he is with us this evening as my co-guest, and between the two of us, we're going to tell you quite a story, quite a tale, a real, true tale of what's happening to us down in Tonga. C.W., you want to say hi?
Good evening, Pastor. And I appreciate you bringing us on and your listening audience to be able to hear the adverse foulness that is being played upon the global board.
Very good. Well, thank you. So go ahead, Brent, and tell your story.
Okay, let me start off with that. Now, I've been in Tonga for about 10 years, and I was determined when I first came here that when it came time, when the people were at the point that they were ready to stand up, and I do believe they are, okay, I was going to come back, okay, and I was going to be there, you know, to help support people as best I can in what's going on. I also have various business meetings that are very important that I had to get back for. So the timing was now. And a couple of weeks ago, May 16th, to be precise, I arranged for a private plane to come pick me up and my producer and one other person, okay, and bring us back to the United States. Everything was set. Everything was paid for. The private plane went out and got all of the flight plans approved. Everything done. The plane takes off. It took off from Florida, and it landed in Hawaii for refueling. And after 24 hours in Hawaii, it was slated to take off and head to Tonga to pick us up. When it was getting ready to take off from Tonga, it got word that they couldn't take off, that Tonga had summarily decided to revoke the flight plan, to simply prohibit them from coming. As a matter of fact, Tonga actually threatened them and said, if you come, we will confiscate your aircraft and imprison your crew. Suddenly, we had a situation on our hands. Okay, we have all our paperwork done. Our passports are all in order. Everything is packed up. The plane itself is taken off because it has all the approvals on the flight plan. And suddenly Tonga says, no, you can't go. This precipitated a problem that is still ongoing. Okay, that, and it's amazing as we get into the details, you will be absolutely amazed at this. But effectively, we have been put in a position where we're pretty much hostages in Tonga. American citizens not being allowed to leave. Now, Tonga is a very odd place in that you might expect that, well, who did this? You know, can we just go in there and confront who did this and all that? And the answer is no, because it appears that some individual within government did this pretty much on his own. And we have been unable to identify specifically who the individual is. We do know that various members of the government, up to and including the king, okay, have said they don't know what's going on. We spoke to the Speaker of Parliament. They have a constitutional monarchy. So they have a king, but all the legal stuff gets done through Parliament. And the Speaker of the Parliament is kind of like the Speaker of the House. The Speaker of the Parliament, as of about a week ago, maybe a week and a half ago, said, I don't know anything about this. This did not go through parliamentary procedure. At one point, we spoke with the secretary to the king just to check and make sure everything was okay. And he said, there's no problem with this. We have no problem with your, you know, landing this plane. So somebody took it upon himself to simply say you can't leave. And what we've been able to determine is that even though no official reason has been given, we've been able to determine that this somebody has said, I will not allow a U.S. plane to land here, while they do allow Fijian, Australian, New Zealand planes to land. And this somebody has also said, I will not allow these people, referring to me and my party, to leave. It appears that the motivation behind this is the jab. The experimental medical device that I would never take into my body, and neither would Lee. Lee is my producer, and neither would my other participant in the party. We would simply not take it. Okay, that seems to be the motive behind this. Now, there is no law in Tonga that requires anybody to take the vaccine. To the contrary, many, many people do not take the vaccine. And there is no law in the U.S. that requires anybody to take the vaccine, because they can't do that because it would be a violation of the Geneva Convention, to which Tonga is a party. Nonetheless, we remain on the ground 2 weeks and change after the fact. We've had numerous, not only did we lose the money, okay, for the plane that was supposed to come here, but we had 3 weeks of accommodations prepaid for. That's gone. I am currently going through some chronic stomach problems. When I eat, I have moments of excruciating pain. And this is not something that Tonga can address. Tonga Medicine, Tonga Hospitals, I've spoken to them. They have told me we cannot address this. I know what it is because it's something that I had a long time ago. And I asked them about it, and they said, no, we can't do anything about this. So we really need to get back to the States, if only for me to address that. We've got a 76-year-old woman, that's Lee, 66-year-old man, that's me. Okay, so we're elderly people as well. We have we are spotless. We don't have any criminal anything over here or anywhere else. We have done nothing wrong, and we have not been accused of doing anything wrong. We simply are being told that we cannot leave. And what we've been trying to do is get people involved, get people contacting congressmen, senators, get them involved, contacting consulates, get them involved, contacting the U.S. State Department. We've gotten no help from the State Department, which, by the way, has actually lied to senators to try and get them off, you know, get them to go away. Literally have lied, and we have documentation of the lies. In many cases, the politicians have said, no, there's nothing we can do. So essentially, you've got Americans being held hostage in a foreign country, okay, and the officials in America are saying, there's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do. Okay, the consulate has been useless. The consulate down here, we do not have a Tongan consulate, a U.S. consulate in Tonga. We have the closest one is the U.S. consulate in Fiji, okay, and they represent Americans in this region, and they're out there saying, oh, there's nothing to do. They actually sent a document, an email to the Iowa senator, Joni Ernst. They sent a document that said, it appears that Mr. Johnson is being influenced. This is a quote. It appears that Mr. Johnson is being influenced by anti-vaccine conspiracy theory fantasies, end quote. That's what the consulate said to the senator making inquiries. In other situations, we've had congressmen, assemblymen, senators calling official places in Tonga, and they won't answer the phone. They don't want to talk to anybody out of the U.S. They won't answer the phone. They simply don't answer. Or occasionally somebody answers and claims to be somebody official, turns out it's not somebody official, and gives a fake name. We had somebody answer the phone at one point, said, I'm the CEO of such and such ministry. There are no CEOs in a parliamentary system. There are ministers, you know, and adjutants to the ministers, but there are no CEOs. That's a corporate designation. And that person identified himself as Mr. Roberts. And I can promise you, there is not one Tongan named Mr. Roberts. It's not a Tongan name. Nobody is named Mr. Roberts. So this has been an absolutely amazing situation. The flight people, which is Humes McCoy Aviation, that's the name of the company, okay, that sent the private plane. And Humes McCoy Aviation has been in business for 30 years. They have done business of this sort all over the world. And they have already said they have never encountered anything of this sort, not remotely like this. Now, our hope at this point lies in getting enough people making enough efforts to make contact that the Tongan officials, and we know the officials in government know about it. We know the Prime Minister knows about it. We know the Attorney General. We know the Minister of Health knows about it. We know this. Okay, they just are not contacting us. If they contact us, we could probably sit down with them and work it out. But they're not contacting us because they know they've done wrong. You know, and they don't want to admit it. They simply don't want to admit it. We did find out the number of the Tongan consulate in San Francisco, and we've been putting that out in the air, and I do want to give that information here at some point, or have CW give it. But we've had people contact the consulate. Today, we heard from a gentleman named Xavier, who had heard me on another show, and he contacted the consulate, and he got the consulate general, or at least a woman who said she's the consulate general, on the line. And he was talking to her, and he said she got into a heated argument with him. Apparently, she's been getting lots and lots of calls about this and doesn't know what to do about it. Okay, all these people saying, why are you holding Americans and not letting them go? And just ongoing. And she ultimately reached a point where she said, well, these people are absolutely free to go. There's no, they're not under arrest or anything of the sort. That's what she told him. Now, I can tell you from being down here, that's not true. Okay, if we were free to go, we would be in America right now. And I'd like to, at this point, introduce CW, okay, to add some color, if you will, okay, to the framework that I've just given you. I've given you the basics of the situation. He has been involved directly in the internal activities of this situation. And I think that it would be very interesting for you to hear, okay, what he has to say. CW?
Yes. Thank you, Brent. Pastor, before I get started, I would like to take and state that at any time in my speaking that you have a question or are wondering about something, by all means, please interject and ask. It is a extremely convoluted situation due to and basically because of the fact that it's a situation that these people in Tonga are not used to. They're totally unequipped to handle such a situation that they've stepped in and problem they've caused. And as Brent has said, no one will talk to anyone anymore. And they're not contacting him because they're trying to figure out the best way they can get out of this to save face and make it look like it wasn't them. Plausible deniability, if you will, and that it was somebody else, and it's okay, we are sorry it happened, and yeah, they can go home. Well, the reason for that, before I get into
and please, just to tag on to that, not just you, Pastor Ernie, but Pastor John in Texas, or anybody else there who does have a question about this, please ask the question. I know that you also take callers. You know, at some point you might open up the lines and see if there's anyone there who also has questions that they want to ask about this. C, please go on.
Yes, by all means. I agree with 100% what Brent has just stated. The thing is that before we go any further, there's a couple of base facts that your listeners need to be aware of. In the Kingdom of Tonga, like anywhere else in the world, it's always about the bottom line. It's always about money. Now, since Tonga really doesn't have any industry or really any natural resources, they depend on two main different factors. One, tourism, and two, basically, I'm not trying to be mean or cruel, but it's truth, a handout from other countries and other organizations globally. Well, they closed everything down, locked everything up tight due to the so-called COVID situation, which we all know was a setup and so on. Anyway, the thing is that they're now talking about opening up tourism again. Well, when you have statements that are openly stated that U.S. planes will not be able to land and or U.S. citizens will not be able to leave. I don't give a goddamn what anyone says. I said they can't leave and no one can land and pick them up.
Yeah, are you quoting? Are,
on and on.
Are you quoting?
Quote.
Yeah, that's what I thought, because we don't.
Yes.
We don't want to
yes.
use that language.
No, we don't talk that way. He's yep. quoting a quote. That is actually a quote. Okay, and yes. what he used with the GD statement, he actually said, "I don't give a GD what the king says," and then he went on. That was a quote. Yes.
Okay. Good.
And so it is understood by your listeners. I do not speak that crudely.
I didn't think so.
I should have paraphrased it. And,
yeah. Let me ask you this, though, very quickly. Just for our listeners out there, so they can get a better picture of this. As far as Tonga goes, Tonga, is this like an island, or is this, you know, does it have, is it surrounded? Is it landlocked? Tell us, give us a little geography on Tonga.
All right. Well, Tonga is a kingdom. And it is located just a little bit east of dead center South Pacific. It is one of the most out-of-the-way places that you could ever go to anywhere on the planet. Everything has to be shipped in, and that's another problem that they have. It is a very small kingdom, and so... people have an idea. It's approximately 5,000 miles due south, a bit west, from the southern tip of the big island of Hawaii. So if that will give your people an idea.
Here, let me help a little bit here. Okay, it's just on the other side of the international date line. Okay, it's Saturday for me. Okay, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Saturday. It's about 179 islands in 6 island groups. Okay, the main island group is where the seat of government is. We are currently located in the second largest island group. It is called Vavau. All of this is island, so we're surrounded by water everywhere. So that might help.
Yeah, that does. Now we have a better picture of Tonga. Up until now, you know, John and Ron thought that that's where King Kong came from. But
now, quite ironic, because that's the way these people are acting there, the ones who utilize different names, but yet everybody that has a different name still has the same position. They're acting like King Kong, but they don't want to take off cuteness intended their mask to let everybody know who they are. So it's quite apropos, Pastor, that you use the term King Kong quite.
Yeah. So go ahead and continue.
Yes. Well, back in the end of February, Brent Johnson and I were speaking, and he said, okay, the time has come. I need to come back stateside. I have to take care of a few things, get things around, and so on and so forth. So the middle of April, things started moving forward to arrange to have everything put into place to get Brent and Lee Parker and Joshua Moore over here stateside. So things were put into order and position in place and moving forward. The beginning of May, May 4th to be exact, I contacted Faye Humes, who is the owner of Humes, McCoy Aviation. And I talked to him and said, okay, this is a situation. We need to get them out. And he said, okay. And so I sent all the information, which you have to have, all the passports, and et cetera, et cetera, so all of the paperwork could be filled out and run through the IFR. Now, the IFR is the International Flight Registration. Any flight that goes anywhere in the world outside of a domestic flight goes through this system. And what it amounts to is every plane, jet, prop, doesn't matter, has a tail number. And that tail number is the most important quotient. That, as well as the type of plane, whom the crew members are, and all their information, their passports, citizenship, et cetera, et cetera. When they are proposing to land and leave, depart, if you will, from whatever location, that is all put together by the IFR, again, International Flight Registry. And the one that was utilized here stateside was the one that's right outside of Houston, Texas. And it then goes over to whatever country, in this case, the Kingdom of Tonga. It goes to their division over there. It is run by the Minister of Aviation. It goes to the aviation division in any country, does not matter. And it's all registered in. And then a return is sent back that, yes, the flight plan and all the information is accepted and so on. And then you take off and leave. Well, it was set to begin with Vavao, which, as Brent has stated, is the second largest island group. And it is pretty much at the very north of the island group, and Tonga Tapu, which is the main island and the capital, is pretty much at the very southern part. There's about 300 miles in between the two. And the Tongan government switched it, and being it would be, if it's done by whom it was supposed to be, the aviation factor, and changed it to the main island, Tonga Tapu. So then another one had to be filed and said, no, it has to be Vavao there in Vavao. And so then that was accepted. And so then after that was accepted, they get a call from the IFR saying that Tonga now has rejected the second plan and said that no, they cannot fly there, but would not give a reason why. So I looked up a considerable amount of numbers. The number for the King's Palace, the number for the Prime Minister, the Minister of Aviation, the Minister of Health. And so all those numbers were made available. Now, before I go any further, the statement that was made via a phone call from Humes McCoy through the IFR directly to the Tongan aviation structure in the island or on the island of Vavao, that individual...
See, we're coming up to a hard break right now, so hold tight, okay. And we'll be back
of
right
course.
After this with
of
more.
Fight the fight! Take a stand! Light the light! We are there! Let's come against the night!
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian Resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian Resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.